Everything Paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Stephanie, and you are listening to The Gathering Radio Show.
And this is Heidi. We're here on the Para-X Network once again tonight. Very excited to be here and looking forward to another fun show.
Yes, I think this is going to be a good one.
Steph, they're all good.
They are all good. Even when we don't know what we're going to talk about and we, you know, pull it out of, you know, the air.
Although, let me tell you, we're at the back half of the year. We're on a roll.
We are. We have a good schedule. We have guests. We have subjects. And we're out like a month or two. So, hey, we are rolling. This is awesome. It's really fun. So how are you, Heidi?
Good. It's been a busy, crazy week. I know I couldn't go squatching with you gals this weekend. I was in priestess circle all weekend, which was awesome. Well,
you know, it was just one of those things where I hadn't seen Cindy for a couple of months, you know, since we were in Effie. And, you know, we've been kind of staying out of the woods because it's been so buggy. I can't handle it. And I called her. We were chatting last week. And I said, what are you doing this weekend? And she said, why? And I said, I want to go squatching. Yeah, let's do it. And so, so I didn't really even ask anybody else. You know, we just met up at our research area and went through there and actually got across the swamp and found all kinds of cool stuff. And Kat was watching us on our live. That was fun. So, yeah, it was good. We found some new stuff. It never ceases to amaze me what we find out there. Mm-hmm. So I really hope they decide quick if we can spend the night out there. If not, like I told Cindy, what we need to do is go and spend like a whole 6-hour block or something and just stay in that area, bring some camp chairs and just see what happens, you know.
Agreed.
So anyway, something to look forward to. But I think we need to introduce our guest, because this is a good— I'm really honored to have him on tonight. And Ghost Dance put us in touch with him. So thank you, Dave, for doing that. Our guest today is Chief Elkhart Running of the Great Dakota Nation. So welcome to The Gathering, Chief. Chief, did we lose him? Heidi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I think we might have accidentally lost him.
Oh no!
So I'm sure our producer Sarge will get him back on the line.
Yeah, he will.
So we'll give it a second.
We were just talking to him a minute ago. So
I know,
and I know he's on. He's in a different place. He's not at his home. So hopefully we didn't lose him because.
Hello.
There you are. Hi, Chief. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're awesome. We're so happy you could be here with us.
I'm on location in Seacha Hollow right now, where the home of the little people are.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We're up in the hills doing some work. So.
Yeah, we're so excited to talk to you. But first, I'd like to start out the show with— I would like you to tell us how you became chief at such a young age. Well, how did this happen? He's giggling. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, it was. It's been 20 years in the making. Relatives tried to put this responsibility on me a while back, and I kept refusing because I understand and I know the role of a person that carries a Wapaha. Mm-hmm. You don't get power. You don't. I mean, nothing like that. It's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, about 3 hours ago, is when I found out that these people needed help moving their home.
Mm-hmm.
So when they bring that tobacco offering and they ask you in your own language, Nacha'a, Omakiayo, you know, can you help me? So I asked them what it was, and they told me that they have a trailer house they need moved. So I have a truck big enough to move it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when they ask, you know, channels,
mm-hmm.
if there's no pay involved, a lot of people won't do it.
Yeah.
And they know that I have that obligation in carrying a bonnet. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was about 20 years ago they started asking me, and I kept refusing. So they waited till I was at Sundance and couldn't go nowhere. And then laid a buffalo robe down and asked me, I was out helping the people stake out that we're going to pierce. And put, you know, I made this big old bed for somebody to lay down. But all along it was, they placed a bonnet on me at ceremony, asked the people if they had anything bad to say. Now is your, kind of like a wedding. Now is the time to say it, and I understand that people, they want to see an older man. They want to see the gray hair. They want to see the wisdom, but a lot of those old-timers are going home back to the star camps.
Mm-hmm.
So I, more or less, when they put it on me five years ago, starting to get tenure listening and speaking with the people. So that when I do look like that, I'll be ready for whatever it is they need. So, and I'm the Nacha'a of the Wachihe Waka Tioshpae from the Bade Hadakia, the lake that lays at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just carrying on tradition with my people. And it is, that bonnet has taken me a lot of places, helping mm-hmm. a lot of people. A lot of people recognized me when Standing Rock was going on in the Chief's teepee. I was one of the only ones allowed to wear the bonnet, as I was not an elected paper chief, but it was passed down to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. I carry that. And before that, I did what I could to help the people when I could, but you know, I had the ability to say yes or no, I'll help you. But now it's like I'm locked in. I can't. Mm-hmm. I have to do it when they ask. So
mm-hmm. it's a big responsibility on your shoulders.
Right. And that's sure. what it is. Not power, responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
But it feels good to know that the people have had the confidence in me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, the first time I talked to you was on Friday, and I called you just to introduce myself and chat about the show a little bit. And honestly, I texted Dave afterwards, and I said, I had the most delightful conversation with him. It was just fabulous. Sure. And you have this way about you that you just bring people in, you know, and it's like you just, I knew you, I feel like I've known you for a long time, even though I just met you on Friday via phone, you know, so.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's definitely something that works for you, you know, and it's
right.
You have the personality and the the solemnness to do this, and so well, thank you for sharing that with us, because I wondered, and I know Dave's going to kill me, but he said you got to ask him how he became chief, so I did. So that's I like this is good.
Yeah, our mutual friend Bud, he with the Keepers in Pipestone, I mean, he knows my whole story.
Mm-hmm.
since I've been a founding member of the Keeper since the inception of the Keeper. So they know who I am and how, seen how I've progressed. And
yes,
they think it was funny, too, that they finally cornered me in a place where I couldn't run.
Sometimes it happens, but hey, I think you're probably, I know you're fabulous. You do fabulous in that role. So they knew what they were doing.
Sure.
For sure. So we have a few different subjects that we thought we would chat about, and you can, if you want to start out chatting about whichever one you want to chat about,
okay.
First, that would be awesome.
The tribal chairman of the Sistan Wapsinoyate says hello to the world.
Oh, hello.
He's here. So his name is Donovan White.
Donovan White.
He's the chief of our reservation, yes.
Awesome. Well, give him our blessings and hello. And, you know, sure. Someday maybe he can come on the show with you at some point. That would be fun.
Right.
I love it. So I'm thinking because you're at Sishi Hollow, maybe you want to start out by talking about the little people.
Sure. Sishi Hollow, it's actually called Sheeta. Sheeta Hollow. Yeah, it's a state park here. I'm on the Badeha Dakya, the lake that lays out at Angle Reservation, or in the non-native tongue, Lake Travers Reservation.
Okay.
And there's a state park here that has bared the name of Sheeta Hollow, being that when people go there, and, you know, a lot of you understand little people, a lot of you understand energies. When you drink or whatever it is you're doing, you're partying, your auras change. Mm-hmm. The little people can recognize that. And so they chase that energy out. They know that it allows things to enter your mind, into your spirit, into your body that ain't normally you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a story here that the man was drinking, and well, actually, there's quite a few of those stories that they were drinking here, and they kept throwing stuff at it, shooting at them. And when they get in their car, the little people flip their car over.
Oh.
And there was a little man sitting on the bumper telling him not to come back. Mm-hmm. And how I've been coming here because I had an experience myself. Mm-hmm. I have a son, my boy, Wakia Duta Obmani, walks with Red Thunders. He does not carry a non-Dakota name. He's pure Dakota. He's unvaccinated. And when we were walking, it was just him and I had him on my shoulders. He spotted one. And because he's, you know, from the time till you're 7 years old, you don't have that filter. They say that the soft spot on top of your head is 7 years old when that closes. So up until then, you're real close to the spirit world. So we're walking down the trail. And I'll tell you, when you get to Sheeta Hollow, if you stay on the left and keep going left all the way to the back, there's a creek there, and we call them Chauntidas, people of the trees, and we call them Huiwinas, or people of the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was on my shoulders, and he said, "Ee, Daddy, there's a GT." And I start looking, you know, and right away I couldn't see it. And so I asked him, I said, where is it? He said, "It's right there. It's coming out." And sure enough, a little man, he was probably maybe 2 feet tall. And he had rabbit skins covering himself. And he came out. And I saw like a jackrabbit coming at me. And then it stood up. And then there was a little man. And and I said, "Tunkashita waunshita mi ambetu kinde unke." "I'm sorry, Grandfather. Me and my son, we were going to walk your path here today." So I asked for forgiveness, and then I turned around. And I, you know, as a father, I was scared for my son. If this thing's going to do what, you know, all your fears start coming in of what the tales of how people say this place is.
Yes.
So I turned around and start walking back to our truck, and I have a Ford Expedition, and I walked around the truck. My son's car seat was behind the driver's seat, so I was putting him in his car seat. But my passenger window was open, and I heard something clawing, trying to get up. And then that little man was sitting on the front seat, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, should I be aggressive? So I started unbuckling him, getting ready to pull him out. And he told me, Dakota Manau. And I said, yes, we're Dakotas. And he said, yeah, Nieshni. No, not you. Ish, him. And so then it dawned on me what he's talking about. And like I said before, my son doesn't have an English name, and he's unvaccinated. So he's a true Dakota. And that little man, what he was telling me in Dakota was that Dohan Ish, Wanyetu Shafpe, Yahedikte, bring him back when he's 6 winters old. The Bigfoot and the little people are going to teach him. So meanwhile, he's telling me this, the Cheetos Cheesy Puffs. My son had some of those. And so he offered a cheesy puff to this Chantira. And the Chantira took it, and he was smelling it. And he took a bite. And the snarl on his face, he didn't care for it, you know. But in a true fashion of between two peoples, you never turn food away. Mm-hmm. So he was sitting there eating this orange cheesy poo, crunching it up with it, and the crumbs were falling down his face and down onto my seat. And he just kind of looked at my son, and he was smiling at him. And in Dakota, he told me that we've been waiting. You guys went away from us for a while, but now we were waiting for someone to come back. Mm. So that when you speak Dakota, or when we speak our language, there's spirituality in our language. There's feminine and masculine talk. So all those things, the spirituality, it all encompasses in the language. So it's very important for our people to carry on the language, so that when we have ceremonies, you know, the little people come. When we have Uwipi, Bigfoots come. And I took in a Uwipi down on the Lake Traverse down there in the old homestead, and we had a pretty packed house. And the man that was doing the ceremony, those Bigfoots came. To us, we call them Wichahaska, a very tall man. So they come in, and we had a drummer who's 350 plus pounds, and he told of how that hand went around his whole side and slid him like he was nothing. And they went into the circle to talk to the Uwipi man. Another one came in. They were two big black ones that came in. And they were conferring with the Uwipi man. They were telling him, because of how you guys live today, we're going to break our bond with you. You guys don't come into the wilderness to help us. You don't come and ask for help. And through that ceremony, they're waiting for us. They're watching us. They know we're there before we get there. They know they deal with intent and Sichun. They've taught us the word Sichun. So those spiritual beings, they understand that. Sichun, they know what your intent is going to be. So if you come there to do harm, then they're going to react however it is you come. In our language, we have something called Okawigi. And different cultures around the world call it different things. Karma, you reap what you sow. Things like that. And you know, if you think about it, that's a spiritual law. And because that's a multicultural in teaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so during the ceremony, a big white one came in. And those two got out of his way, And he said, okay, you know, all's not lost, but we need to start doing these things again. So we need to start including them and come out and visit. To be a good relative is to go sit in there. And if you, you know, when you go squatching, take food offerings, take berries, things they can't get to help you in seeing them.
Okay. That's a good idea.
They're out there.
Well, you know, I do take tobacco. You know, sure. That's been talked to me, you know, and you drop some tobacco and, you know, do a little prayer. But the food thing, that's interesting. So like berries and stuff that they don't normally have, and just do kind of the same thing that we do with the tobacco. Just kind of leave it and say, this is for you.
The ones around here, they really like cashews.
Oh, cashews. Oh.
Cashews.
I love it.
Yeah, it's different because it's not something you can find around here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I work as a truck driver for Fuel Link, and I deliver propane, bulk gas, whatever. So one time my boss and I were driving towards Big Coulee, south on our reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And seen footprints. I got tracks of those. I mean, I took measurements, and I send it to BFRO South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come and they do their investigations. And I actually have recordings by my house where two of them were screaming back and forth to each other. They're communicating. But my dogs were, I've never seen my dogs so scared in my entire life. I got German Shepherds who were scared.
Wow.
You know, and I've gotten complaints. They come, they talk. The game fish and parks, hey, do you feed your dogs? Yes, we do. Well, can we see? Yeah, come on to the house. They come out and see they like gravy train.
Mm-hmm.
So their bowls are full of gravy train. They're fed before we go to work, and they're fed when we come home. And the complaint was, well, your dogs took down a deer. Okay, what do you want me to do about it? Well, since they took it down on our land, there's nothing they could do. But they wanted to make sure that we were feeding it. So these dogs are coyote killers. When the coyotes come around, they will take them down.
Mm-hmm.
So to see them that scared that night and wanting to be in the house whimpering.
Mm-hmm.
That, so I went outside and I took my phone out and I start recording. And there was one to the north of me and there was one to the south of me. And they were communicating. Like, when should I go away? You know, whatever it is that you're talking about. But it went on for about probably 20 minutes. And then the south one, like, was getting angry with me for being that close. And I saw movement in the trees. And so I backed up and I just start backing up slowly. And then all the hair on the back of my neck and my arms start raising up. Because I can't describe the smell to you that hit me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I start walking, and then I heard a growl, a real low rumble. And so I put my hands over my ears, and I start turned around, and I walked back. It was taught to me that those Bigfoot, they can ehominy your mind. They can put you in like a trance so they can get away when they're startled. So a lot of times when you're out squatching, they may be standing right next to you and you don't know it, because if you hear that little growl, plug your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say Bengal tigers do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be mindful when you're out.
Yes, and we have heard that from a lot of different people. So it's, you know, it just, there's a lot of things we need to watch for when we're out there, for sure.
So my older son, we went to the zoo, and he was like, hey, out there. He said, when we saw a orangutan, he come around the corner and he saw the orangutan. He said, Ate, that's what stands outside my window at night.
Oh, really?
And then he stopped himself, like he shouldn't have said that, because people start looking at him. Then he come up and I was like, what'd you say? He said, that thing that stands outside my window, that's what he looks like. So we have a 3-foot concrete wall, and then we're another 4 feet up. So that's 7 feet. just to the bottom of the window. And so when he shows you where its head was at the middle of the window, that's 10 feet. And when we went out, and I brought my wife's relatives, they saw the big footprints right by his window.
Wow.
Also, we have a cultural advisor on our reservation to our schools who was driving by the house one night. We live on South Buffalo Lake. Mm-hmm. In his mind, he saw a tree stump in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he was driving. He's like, wait a minute. I've lived up here all my life. And he looked back and he said that it was gone. It was like laying down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moved. And so when he stopped, he finally seen that it was a Bigfoot that just squatted down in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Made itself look like a tree stump. He's like, I knew there was no tree there. So he it bothered him so much, he come up to the house and told me.
Wow.
But when you live, as we do in the old ways, we take in our ceremonies, we practice our ways, that spiritual energy that we invite, they can feel that. And so I own land that, about 12 miles north and east of where we live. And I told them, you guys can stay there. Nobody will hunt you there. No, I mean, that's my land. Nobody will hunt you. So they got 160 acres with a creek they can hide in.
Nice.
When you help them, you know, and then you get the blessings back when things are going tough and so when you connect with those spiritual energies, it's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And then, so when you go to that property up there, do you notice that they're there? I mean, do you sense their presence?
Yes. So prior to that happening, maybe 3-4 months, we went through and we cleaned all the brush out because deer season was coming. We're trying to clean out brush so we can bow hunt in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For the last 2 years now, there's structures that are built.
Mm-hmm.
There's and when you go in there, they walk the creek. They travel they use the creek to, and once in a great while we'll find a stray footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But there's structures in there. So where that creek is, they can follow that creek all the way up into the hills, into the coulees.
Mm-hmm.
And we have quite a few lakes up here that are clean.
Mm-hmm.
So
why do you think they make these structures? And what are your thoughts about those? Because in this area that we have, that we call our research area, we're finding new ones all the time, and they're not. These are in remote areas that people just don't go in. And why would they take the time to make these structures? They're hard to make because we decided as a research project that we would make our own amongst some that we had found. And it's hard work. You know what I mean?
Right.
So why do you think they make these structures? They're not going to protect them from the elements. They're not going to hide them from, you know, eyes that want to see them. What do you think they are?
Well, we actually have a theory on that they're building portals to travel.
Yeah.
Because there's actually no explanation for those.
Mm-hmm.
So they build one. I mean, you got to remember, we're not the smartest species on the planet.
No.
We'd like to think we are, but by far we are not.
No.
And the reason why I say that is the things that we as humans, we do to the earth, we do to the animals. And, you know, when you start thinking about those things, you know, we're not very kind species.
In
our Dakota values, we're taught, you want to be a good relative, go watch animals in nature. Watch how they watch out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Watch how they're connected.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a herd of deer. They'll teach you to be a good relative because we have this need to collect, to acquire, to take more than we need.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all went back to the old system, take what you need, the everything out there provides for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start talking about us, then that goes to, in ceremonies, we found that they say the Wichahaska, the Sasquatch, they come from another planet, and they travel around through these portals. We know about a long time ago, Ekta Ihana, like Ekta Ihana is way, way back. Our people before colleges were even in this country, before Columbus, we knew that North America was shaped like a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how did our people know this thousands of years ago?
Yeah.
We didn't have flight, but we knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. I mean, this is something that I have heard many times over the last few years. And how would you know
right.
that? Yeah.
So when you start thinking about all this, and you start looking at indigenous cultures worldwide, the indigenous cultures worldwide, you can call them Egyptians, you can call them Mayans, you can call them whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
With their building of their pyramids, South America, the building of where all those H's are, those stargates
mm-hmm.
in Peru,
mm-hmm.
all down there.
Mm-hmm.
That in our way of life, they call that Lakota Star Theory. And one of those theories is that we came here on a beam of light from the star Sirius. So there's mm-hmm. people that are here that came on a beam of light waiting for the others who are coming in ships. We're the forerunners. And when they start talking about star theory, when you look at all animals throughout the world, the same coat that they have in the summer is the same coat they have in the winter, but humans don't. So if mm-hmm. humans are derived from monkeys, then why are we hairless and why can't we adapt with to Mother Nature as the animals do? A lot of us have dogs. They'll get a thicker coat and then they'll shed in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start thinking about things like that, all right, well, why is it when I'm walking, my back hurts, my feet hurt, I get achy when I'm running?
Mm-hmm.
And to us, it's because our bodies weren't designed for this gravity.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't adapted to this planet like our relatives have, the deer nation, the buffalo, the elk, the dogs, the cats.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, even a fish. You know, they're in Minnesota. The lakes freeze over.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how they are adapted.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that.
No.
You know, just some things to think about. Those are things that when we have ceremony, we think about those things. Well, then what the heck? How come we can't do that? And yeah. and when you realize how fragile we really are versus the animals that are here, the water that they can drink and not get sick, but if we drink it, we get sick and most likely die.
Yeah.
So... But that all ties in with Bigfoot and little people and those energies that they bring. I believe that when they see the kind of life you live, they bless you with allowing them to see. So like my son, who was 6 years old when this was happening, he was still innocent up until they're seven. You know, so today when you see Dakota, Lakota, Nakota men with that braid on the very top of their hair,
mm-hmm.
that's our like our antenna to the spirit world. We're trying to replicate from when we're born and we have that soft spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was our direct link to the creator.
Mm.
So in people and in our way of life, my understanding is that every 7 years, our bodies change. Mm-hmm. So 7 years old, you lose that ability that to see the other side. Now, many nations on this earth, I'm not going to say races because there's only one race, the human race, but many nations, they talk about how the children can see relatives who've gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
And at 7 years old, when you actually study it, at 7 years old, they all lose that gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yep. In our teachings, so when we're 14, then we mature into young adults. We want to call it teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're 21, we're out on our own, we're trying to do everything. Then we become young adults at 21. And then at 28, we've kind of messed up a little bit, tripped and fell, but at 28, we can start navigating pretty good. So when you look at the maturity rates of people, it's every 7 years they mature different.
That's interesting.
Those are the teachings that we've grown up with. So.
So in your teachings, when you get to be 7 years old, you most of the time lose the ability to see spirits. I mean, I've always just thought it's kids lose it because their parents are saying, telling them there's no such thing. You know, you've heard it all before. There's no such thing. You know, whatever.
So in my family, they can tell you that my mom's mom passed 2 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I could see her. And I would wonder why nobody else could see her and talk to her like I'm talking to you guys and talking to the world. I could have a conversation with her. All my relatives, you know, they talk of when I was young, and I'd be running back and forth down the hall laughing and giggling, and it'd be just me and my auntie. Well, who are you talking to? I'm talking to grandma. And so they knew from a young age that that I was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was 7 years old and 2 months when my grandmother told me that I have to go now. And mm-hmm. I was asking her, why do you have to go? No, you don't. No, you don't. She said, you're changing. So through my own life experience, my grandmother telling me that, you know, mind you, she died 2 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I was the firstborn grandson. And she had one boy and all daughters.
Wow.
So, yeah, so she would come back. And so if we had lived in back the way our relatives lived, that gift that I had to be able to speak. Now, it came back. You know, when you're 21, right around there, you get told some things.
Mm-hmm.
You get told some things and you don't want to hear it, so you push it away. When I was 28, when I had matured some more, went on the hill and I was fasting. I was on Vision Quest. And I actually went up for like 5 years in a row and nothing was happening. When I went up the sixth year, I had gotten an argument with my sister. And I said some things I shouldn't have. But when I was on the hill, I felt really bad about that. And so I actually, once you get to the point where you surrender, where you just give up or give in and say, okay, I can't do it no more. This is, here I am. And I started crying. And I was always taught, I had a very masculine upbringing that I was weak for crying on that hill. Mm-hmm. But I cried and I cried and I was asking for forgiveness for a lot of things. For people that I've hurt and inadvertently and inadvertently. I was thinking of all those things. But that's when I, like I said, that moment where you just turn yourself over. And when you get to that point, and I can't say it was rock bottom or anything like that, because I wasn't going through that kind of stuff in my life. It was just, I got to a point where I surrendered. And that's when that first little person came. So you have to get to a place of, where I got was a lot of people that in yoga can get to that when you meditate. Yeah, when you get to that point where you can totally open your mind, all those things become available. The difference now is that a lot of us live in cities who don't have a place to go say, okay, I'm going to go fast for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, to do a system reboot. I was just in Minneapolis this weekend, and wowzers, the traffic.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I took my son to Nickelodeon Universe, and we did all that. Como Zoo did all that. Badea Makoska. So, I could see how you guys need to get out of the cities.
Yeah.
And I tell myself, oh my God, it would be so awesome to live here in the city. But then you get all these different energies, and you're like, it's a fun place to visit.
Yeah.
But I like it out here on the reservation where things are still happening.
Yep. And, you know, I one of the things that like I said, we hadn't been squatching for a while simply because the bugs are so bad here in Minnesota. I don't know how they are out in South Dakota, but in the summertime in the woods, they carry you away pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
And so we've been kind of out of the woods, and I was going crazy. And I'm like, I reached out to my friend, Cindy, who's also in the squatchers group. And I said, what are you doing this weekend? And she said, why? And I said, let's go squatching. Okay. And both of us were like, oh my God, we can't wait to get out there. And we were just, the minute we started walking through the trees, it was like, you know, it was just such a relief, you know?
It is, but, you know, we really don't have places to decompress.
No.
Just everything.
Yes.
You get out into the wilderness, and then all the cell phone signals are gone, all the microwaves are gone, and you can just reconnect.
Yes. And even up north, I know our friend Karen, who we were just up at her place last weekend, she lives way up, it's called the edge of the wilderness up there where she lives, and it's phenomenal. I love going up there. Absolutely love going up there. That girl has me all the time. But yeah, you do. You just have to decompress. You got to get out of here because it's just crazy down here. You know, that's how I feel sometimes. Just nuts. And even if I can just get over to I have this really, it's like a regional park that's only like 2 blocks from my house. And there's this ginormous tree there called the Mama Oak. I call her the Mama Oak. She's amazing.
Sure.
All I have to do is go sit with her and put my hands on her trunk. And I just feel so much better almost immediately, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's amazing. And horses place is good medicine too. Yes, it is for sure. Yeah, I've just been blessed with so many people that have these places and have brought me there and brought me to ceremony, and it's amazing. So I thank all of you for that, because, you know, I've never been able to do that without knowing Dave, for example. You know, he's taken me to introduced me to you, and, you know, this has been a phenomenal journey for me as well, and learning.
Sure.
Well, okay, so we have about 15 minutes left. Is there anything, what would you like to tell us about? What would you like to talk about out of all this?
You know, with Bigfoot and with the little people, the little people are in all cultures. They're in all cultures. When you start looking into it, as I did, you'll see that they're in all cultures. Everybody has recorded history of them. Everybody, you know, you go to Asia, they speak of Bigfoot over there. In Americas and Canada, Bigfoot here. It's the medicines that they leave behind, this lady in Big Coulee, when I took those pictures, I couldn't even run and jump. My strides weren't big enough. I couldn't even come close to the strides. But I got photo evidence of that. And so with those prints, mine looked like a toddler's foot inside that. And I wear a size 12, and I look small in that print. So I asked her, I said, well, do they come and visit you? She said, yeah, when I leave cakes out for them, I leave bread out for them. And she's actually the one that told me they liked cashews. And they leave... She calls it Indian medicine. Then they bring me the old-time Indian medicines, and people are sick, they go to her. And so with her, it's the old barter system. Take her milk, take her eggs, and then whatever you ask for, she'll give it to you. So she's like a true medicine woman of the natural plants and herbs. Everything we need, the earth also provides for us. You know, so when you can build a relationship to where they're getting things that they can't get normally, you know, she's a prime example. She's not scared. She's a little old lady, lives in the hills all by herself, you know, and people get scared because they see them up there. And people don't want to talk about it because they don't want to believe that he exists. But he does.
He does.
We see him. The children see him. You know, they still have that straight connection. You know, one time I was at Oglala Nation on the Pine Ridge. And the lady we were staying with, she was a lieutenant in the police force there, got a call. So my Hunka brother and I, we went with her. And we saw this man, and he was on this donkey sitting backwards. And to us, we call them Heokas, they're contraries. And he was slapping that donkey like you wouldn't believe, and that donkey was running. And we got to down by the river, and there was this big tree, like you said, a big oak. And it on their dash cam, you can watch it dive into that tree. So as we're sitting there, I asked that man, I said, what was you going to do if you caught up to it? He said that donkey didn't want to do it, so he had to coerce it. He called it coercing that donkey when he was spanking it, and it was running. But he said, I wasn't going to count coup on it. So being contrary, he said he was going to count coup on it before it got into that tree. So we dug around. The dogs wouldn't go down in there, but we had flashlights, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
So when we get there's this big hole in the stump, and that's where he dove in. So we asked around out there, and the old timers, the Unkanas, the grandpas, they told us, oh yeah, he can travel that way through the trees. If you think about it, the trees are connected to Unchi Maka, so to Grandmother Earth, so they can create pathways for them to travel different places. And you always see them. It's my understanding that when there's women around and children around, they watch out for them and the waterways. So when you start researching it, there are stories that they're always by the water. They're traveling to or from. So a lot of people in canoes will see them.
We have heard that too.
And the little people, same way. There's a story that this lady, the little people, she lived with them, and they taught her the medicines. They did the same thing. But when she passed away, it was a native funeral. Those little people were crying for her because she passed away. And they were jumping in her grave with her.
Wow.
So those are stories that we have here, and people talk about, yeah, we know about them, but we stay away from them. But I think it's time that we as a people need to come back to those old ways again. Because that's how we learn.
Yes.
You know, they're just like our, I mean, they're no You know how your grandma and grandpa want you to be happy. They want you to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. So
when you have that kind of dialogue, they'll always bring medicine to help with us.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So I encourage people to just have an open mind when they go squatching.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go out with anticipation.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you just go out and allow it to happen, it's going to happen.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I always say. There are no bad days in the woods. We love to be in the woods. I think to do this kind of work, you have to love to be in the woods, you know, and it's healing, right? So if we happen to find Bigfoot, awesome. If we happen to find stick structures and all kinds of stuff, that's awesome too. But just being out there in nature and feeling the healing energy that's there is worth a million trillion dollars. You know what I mean? There's nothing better than that. Now,
so when go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say a lot of the stories that you hear when people talk about they had a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them, were you guys drinking?
Yeah. Yes.
And a lot of times they were.
Yep.
So like one of the non-native guys around here, it's called Lake City, South Dakota, just outside of our reservation boundaries. Had his camper up there, like I was saying, and it was shaking his house. And these are grown men with rifles who are so scared that the growling and the screaming, shaking the house, well, they were up there drinking, doing things they weren't supposed to do. So
sure.
He pulled everything off there. And it was just a hunting cabin that they set up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I start asking questions, you know, we were drinking. Well, you know, drinking changes your aura.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that they can see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they don't like it because it's not really you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You're hiding who you really are.
Yes, exactly. So what I was going to say is you said we should bring offerings for Bigfoot, cashews, whatever, tobacco, whatever we happen to have that we can bring. What about for the little people? Do they like us to offer them things as well?
Yes, they sure do. They're more of the berry type though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So that's cool.
We cranberries don't grow around here, but they seem to really, if you set your cranberries out, they've left little perfectly round stones. And I've showed Dave my little round white stone, perfectly round stone that they've given me. And I've mm-hmm. probably got a good dozen and a half
mm-hmm.
of stones. And then when people want to feel that they're going through hard times, I give them those stones because in my teachings, they're not giving them for me to say, hey, look what the little people gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know, they'll know I'll pass it on to the people that need it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is really awesome. I like it. Well, wow, this has really been a fun hour, and you have taught us so much. I thank you so much for all of your wisdom and teachings and, you know, giving us a little prod what we should do when we're out there in the field. That's just,
sure.
You know, unbelievable, you know?
Right.
So I guess where do you go next? So you have, little people, but star people. So we briefly talked about star people and we talked about, you know, how people aren't made for this earth, you know, and,
right.
And I know when you and I chatted and we talked about how, yeah, you know, we're walking and then our backs hurt and our feet hurt and, you know, the gravity gets to us. And, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, really no other animal on earth is upright like us. Even the primates, even the gorillas all walk much of the time with their knuckles on the ground on all fours.
Correct.
So that's interesting. When we talked about that the other day too, you caught my attention with that one. I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's really true.
You know, through ceremony, there's you know, we all have a vision of God, the creator, whatever you call him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a being that comes who is, yeah, through our teachings. We call her Wakapa Omini, pushing around Holy Woman. And that name that was given was that because even spirits that come to help, the relatives that come to help, they get out of her way.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes, she wears all purple. She's in a purple robe. But from the waist down, she's a snake.
Oh.
And on her arms, I could see when her robe was blowing, the constellations were like on her body.
Oh.
She took me, she came in that ceremony. She said, I wanted to see who brought perfection into ceremony where everybody was one thought, one mind. Everybody prayed for everything. So when we take them in, we tell the people we have to unite in thought and in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took me up out. And when I looked up, she took me straight through the roof of the house, through the house, everything. And he's going up. And I told her, in my humanness, I can't breathe out there in space. And
mm-hmm.
so she took me around the moon and she took me to the sun. Now, inside the sun was like a planet. And everybody that I knew that had passed away was there in the sun. And a dog that I had when I was in my teenage years, Mackenzie, she was there. And she came running up to me. Then I seen my grandmother and my grandfather, and I was asking them, well, who are all these people? And I asked my grandmother, who's that woman up there? And she told me, she'll tell you her name and time. She'll tell you who she is. And it was weird because she was standing up on this hill and she turned and looked right at me. And she said, well, Kampa Omni, we mock you up. They call me pushing around Holy Woman.
Hmm.
And
that's awesome.
When I told her I was going to burn up when we were getting to the sun. And she was laughing at me. She said, again, you're thinking with your human mind. So when we hit the sun, the only way I could describe it is like we went through jello. Like we went through a jello and this big mountain. And we landed on that mountain and there was this big cave. And I picked up this stone and I was marking my way back out. And we got down inside this mountain and there's like a whole another planet Earth in there. And the best way to describe how it looked is if you wear yellow tinted glasses and
mm-hmm.
look outside how everything is vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it looked when I was there. And I didn't have no aches, no pains, nothing.
I
felt if you could wrap love around you like a blanket,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to leave. But she told me, they're calling for you. You have to go back now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want to leave. And she said, you'll be back again. And boom, I was back in ceremony. I was hot. I was sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
And the people
wow.
were still singing.
That is so cool. What a cool story. Oh, well, here we are. We're almost at the end of the hour. Chief, thank you so much for coming on and telling us all these fantastic stories and giving us advice. And, you know, we appreciate it so much. And I hope you'll come on again at some point.
Sure. If people have questions, they just look me up on Facebook.
Yeah, sounds good.
Breon Lake on Facebook. Cool.
Okay.
And like I said, this knowledge isn't mine to keep. So in the beginning, they told me that I have to share it.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you, because you shared a ton tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and we do have to get running, but thank you, Chief Elkhart Running, for being with us tonight. Steph, this has been awesome. And thank you to everybody listening and those who've been in the chat room. It's been kind of quiet in the chat room a little bit, but
everybody's
it's
listening.
So fascinating. Yeah, listening. I was listening. I was totally immersed in it. So thank you to Para X, Sarge, our producer, everybody out there listening. Troops, if you're out there listening, we appreciate your service, and we look forward to being back next week.
Yes. So have a good 3-day weekend, everyone, and we will see you a week from tonight. Thanks.
Thank you again.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye, Noel.